All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to good afternoon. We got a late start today. Welcome to Dropping the Gloves, March 11th, Monday. We got a late start because a little under the weather, Tim. Not feeling great. I you know how under the weather I am? I missed my playoff hockey game last night with my men's league. That's how under the weather I was. It was like 6 o'clock. I was like, do I go to this game? Do I not? It's a semifinals. It's a big game. I said, no, I'm going to prioritize me over the team, which is what I did during my career, and it worked out well. And I don't even know if they won, so maybe they lost. I have to ask Jerv. Remember Jerv? I used to rip on him all the time. He's on my team again, so I gotta get reach out to see if we won. But I'm still feeling a little under the weather, headache, but I'm doing okay. How are you, Tim?
I'm good. Yeah, had a nice weekend. Went to the Checkers AHL game on Saturday, which I was texting you about, so that was fun. And pretty good game. Spencer Knight, our old friend of the show, was between the pipes for the Checkers. They ended up losing to the Hershey Bears 3-2. I was hoping leading up to it, because Kuznetsov was with Hershey for like a few days.
Oh, that's
it,
funny.
It would have been fun to watch him, but obviously he was traded. But it was a good game, good weekend. And yeah, I want to hear your thoughts on how you think Friday went, the trade deadline, the live show. I think it was great. We don't know yet how many people tuned in, but it was a really cool experience.
Well, first, I think we should be completely transparent. Tim and I got into a fight when he was at the Charlotte Checkers game because he was watching the game, and I asked him after the game if he was going down to the locker room, and he responded saying, if I did the podcast with Cam and Riley, they would have hooked me up, and they're a lot cooler. And so right after that, I sent him Cam Jansen, Riley Cote's number, and I said, have at her. Go for it. And then you said another text, and I was like, I got upset. I was upset at you. I was like, good, go. And I was shocked at how angry I got at that text that you sent me, that you were like, they are a lot cooler than you are, John. And I took offense to that. My skin was so thin at that point. I was just dealing with a sickness. I just drove back from Chicago. I was in a bad mood, and you're giving me grief about this. I'm like, good. And I legit sent them their contacts. I'm like, reach out. The grass is not always greener. We're in a fight.
Yeah.
We're in a fight.
This is what happened. But, John, you got to be able to take it because you dish it constantly. And I make a little joke about, yeah, maybe if those guys were doing a podcast with me, they'd get me press passes and all that, and media passes. But that's okay. You got to be able to take it. It's okay.
I did take it at that moment. I was upset. And I really wanted you to text Cam or Riley. I thought it would be funny. It would have been so great. But anyways, back to the trade deadline. We smoothed it over, everybody. We're fine. We're back in good graces. So don't fret. The show's not going anywhere. But yeah, back to the Bleacher Report. That was fun. It was just unexpected. I didn't know what to expect going into it. That was our first real live stream we've ever done. I think it went well. I always come in with just the expectation no one will be there. And we'll just be on this huge platform, and there'll be like 7 or 8 people watching. Because when I do the Hawks cast in Chicago, it's the same deal. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of people watching or engaging with us, but it seemed like we were getting questions and comments and stuff like that. So I think it went well. I don't know how big of a deal it is. Like, is Bleacher Report big? I don't know.
They're pretty big. And yeah, we don't, like I said, we don't know the numbers, but we should find out in the next couple of days. And the chat was full the whole time. The whole experience was great. Our producer, Alex, was fantastic, and it went very well, I think. But there's one little gripe that I have. Later that day, or maybe on Saturday, Bleacher Report, which has a big hockey presence on Twitter and social media in general, posted a clip from that live stream. And of all the things we talked about, and all the trade reactions, and all the teams and players that we really kind of spent time on during that hour-long show, the one part they clipped was you talking about Lou Lamoriello, you know, letting a trade deadline pass him by. This is the fourth year in a row where he hasn't made a trade on deadline day. And it's just like a little 30, 40 second clip, a little throwaway comment. Like, if you think back to it, we barely spent any time on the Islanders. But that's the part that they clip because they know that it'll get the clicks. And everyone is just, it's going viral. People are sending me it. Articles are being written about it by like Islanders publications, all this stupid stuff.
Oh, is that right?
It's frustrating because it's like, it's taken a little bit out of context. And again, that wasn't a main point. And people were like, well, we traded Zajac and Palmieri and all these other guys, you know, in the week leading up to the trade deadline. So it's misleading that John Scott is saying that he doesn't do anything. And it's just, I don't know. It rubbed me the wrong way and had nothing to do with people we worked with. But I was frustrated by that over the weekend.
I'm so glad I'm unplugged from that crap. You saw how upset I got with you sending me that text. I wouldn't be able to function if I were reading all that crap. But yeah, that's, who cares? People get worked up about everything. It's just, it's the nature of the beast. You know, it means we're relevant, Tim. You know, if the minute people stop getting upset at what you say, that's the minute you have to start, you know, questioning if you're in the right field and you're making an impact. It's good people get upset. I'm not trying to get people upset, but people should have a reaction. And I stand by my comment. I think Lou's a terrible GM. Absolutely atrocious. He's done nothing to improve this team during his tenure there. Signed Bo Horvat. Okay, maybe Bo's playing well, but other than that, like, what are we doing here? He's rolled out the same fourth line for millennia. They were good for the first 5 years. The last 15 has been terrible. Brought in, what's that guy's name? The old guy who shaved his beard. Palmieri?
Yep.
Yeah, that's worked out well for him. Like, it's just, it is what it is. People get their panties in a bunch all the time. It doesn't bother me. I just think it's funny. And the Islanders suck. They're on a roll now, though. Good for them. Watch, they'll make the playoffs and win the Stanley Cup, and I'm just going to be eating crow forever. And always. All right, Tim, what are we doing next? Are we going to talk about the Islanders' gripes some more and move on in this show?
Let's move on. This episode is brought to you by our new friends at Tim Hortons. It's an awesome sponsorship called Roll Up to Win promotion for Tim Hortons' 60th anniversary. 60 years, pretty impressive. Play on the Tim's app to win prizes, including daily cash jackpot of $10,000, all-electric Volkswagen ID4, and a sun-soaked Hilton getaway. Part of the sponsorship is to have a Tim's take, and my name being Tim, this is a recurring segment we're going to do. Really interesting thing on Sunday, the Wild won the game by pulling their goalie in overtime. They get a 4-3 advantage on the Skaters, ended up winning the game. Super risky, not only to have an empty net, but what happens is I don't know if they knew this, the players didn't, because Boldy talked about it. If they had been scored on while they had their goalie pulled, they would have lost the point that they had gotten for going to overtime. One of the things in the rule book that goes back a while that it hasn't come up because people don't do it that often. But my take is this, I think you're going to start seeing this happen a little bit more often. Just because of the example that they set by winning the game. And if there are teams that don't necessarily, like, that need the extra point desperately, especially in the last like week or two of the season, it's a chance that's maybe worth taking. We might see that more and more. And remember, the Tim's contest goes until March 31st. Download the Tim's app to get started there. John, what did you think about that little move?
Interesting. I don't know the benefits of it, just because you still could win in a shootout. They must not trust their goaltenders in a shootout as much. I don't know their record when it goes past overtime. But yeah, it works. It originated in Russia. There was a Russian coach who started this. He was an ex-NHL player. I'm trying to think who it was. But they started this trend 3 years ago around that time to pull the goalie in overtime. Because, yeah, 4-on-3 is such a bonus. But yeah, I don't think it'll be a trend. I'm going to disagree with you there, because you would figure as soon as you lose the puck, Tim, it's in the back of your net. Like, it's tough. But, yeah, if you need that extra point and you have no faith in your team in a shootout, you go for it. It worked. If it doesn't work, you have egg on your face and everyone's just questioning you and you lose that point. So it's like a 3-point swing if you don't get that point. So Good for Billy Guerin. I like guys who take risks. Patty Waugh pulling the goalie with 11 minutes left. I like it. I bet you there's some analytics guy who's in his ear and saying, this will work. We looked at all the 4-on-3. Hold on. What'd you send me in the chat, Tim? Hearing people talking, voices in your office. I don't know. I can't control people outside my room. Maybe you... But anyways, but if there's some analytics guy who told him, Billy, this is going to work, you know, and it's just like guys who go on 4th-and-1 in the NFL. The odds are probably in their favor, like the Hunger Games. May the odds be ever in your favor. I like those movies. You watch those movies, Tim?
Did. I just watched them recently. Yeah.
What did you think of the last one?
I don't remember. They all kind of blend together because I watched them in all 4 within a week or so, but I thought it was pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought they did a good job too. All right. Let's recap the trade deadline because we did the Bleacher Report show and it was just rushed. Our heads were spinning. We didn't really know what was happening. There's trades happening in time. We were trying to recap trades that happened earlier that day. There was a lot happening, but let's tick off the big trades, the big teams, all the big player movements. And we'll start obviously with the elephant in the room, the Vegas Golden Knights. They seem to do it every year. They did it last year. They're doing it again this year. The Hurdle trade. Massive get by them. This guy wasn't even on anybody's radar. He is currently in the LTIR. He hasn't played in a little bit. What reason does he have being traded? Well, there was something going on between Kelly McCrimmon and Mike Greer for the San Jose Sharks to the last second, literally 3:00, the clock struck midnight. This trade was announced. Thomas Hurdle gets traded to the Las Vegas Golden Knights for a first rounder. They get some salary back in San Jose to make this deal work. And it just overshadowed everything that happened that whole day and the day prior, because Hurdle, in my opinion, I know people don't like this. This guy, when he's playing, when he's healthy, is one of the best players on the planet. I think he's fantastic. He doesn't shy away in the D zone. He's a moose to get off the puck. He hustles all over the ice. He's got an incredible shot. He's got great hands. I love the way he plays. I played with him. I played against him. He is a poor man's Jaromir Jagr, which is a good thing to be. So what did you think of? Let's just start on this and we'll break down every other thing with a Vegas tip, because this was massive.
Yeah, it was. And it came out of nowhere. And again, I think we talked about this last week, but it was Bob McKenzie who broke it, who wasn't even working that day. He's in the loop and he came in and just dropped the trade and went back to reading his book on a beach somewhere. Really good. I mean, there's some speculation too on like on Mark Stone's availability, and maybe this is a long-term solution. And it's strange because people are being really critical of Greer because he's traded away all these players, which is good, but he's eating a lot of dead cap on these guys. I think he's eating like 17% of Hurdle's salary for the next 6 years or something. Yep. And so it's not a lot of money, but a lot of it's the principle of the thing. But I think it's a good thing that he's getting rid of these contracts. Yes, it hurts to trade away a Hurdle, but you add that into Carlson and some of the other moves they've made, and Vlasic comes off the books after next year. You're just going to see that the finally going to have room for additional moves and bringing up the younger players and signing guys long-term. As much as it hurts to lose a Hurdle, I think the part that probably makes it the worst for Sharks fans is the fact that they traded it to Vegas of all teams. That's going to be a tough swallow to play against him in a Vegas sweater for the next 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, so for dead cap money, the Sharks currently have Hurdle, Burns, and Carlson, and a team is allowed to eat 3 contracts every single year. So they have those slots filled for this year, next year, and then for the next 2 remaining years after that, 25, 26, 26, 27, it's Hurdle and Carlson. So that limits what they can do, because they were trying to do another move and get, I think it was Barbashev, they were trying to get rid of one of their other forwards, but they needed to eat cap and they could not make that happen. Well, which it's not Barbashev, it's something similar to that.
Barabanov, yeah.
Barabanov. This guy hasn't been really a success with San Jose. They wanted to get rid of him, but they could not eat any of his cap, so that he was supposed to go to the Rangers, and he makes 2.75. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. I like what Mike Greer is doing too. I think you have to eat a little bit of cap just to get out from under the cap hell you were in. You still carry Couture's contract, which is huge. Vlasic's Tim contract is still up for another 2 years. He makes $7 million until 25-26. So he's sticking around for a long time. But other than that, you're looking pretty good. This is a team last year who had Burns, Carlson, Hurdle, Vlasic, Couture. So to get away from 3 of those guys is pretty solid. It gives you some flexibility because you're in last place, arguably. And you're a terrible team. You need to have some money in the piggy bank in order to spend, and some draft picks in order to go and get new players. And right now they have Pittsburgh's first-round draft pick this year. You have the Vegas Golden Knights first round draft pick next 2025. So you have some draft capital, you have some money to spend. It's good. It's a good start for Mike Greer, because his hands were tied, Tim, for the last couple of years. He didn't have any room to maneuver. But yeah, good for him. Even better for the Vegas Golden Knights. I don't care that you're trading your draft picks. I don't care that you're spending to the cap. I don't care if you're working the system with the LTIR. Kelly McCrimmon's killing it. He's doing absolutely lights out with his management of this team and working the system and not really. And I think I said this about a year ago. People value first rounders too much. And I think Kelly McCrimmon is one of the few GMs who isn't, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid when it comes to first rounders. He could care less. He wants players who can play. He wants to improve his lineup. He isn't fretting or losing sleep over the 30th overall pick or 25th overall first rounder, which when you look at the statistics, those guys have very little impact on a team if you go back 10 years. So these guys are fringe NHLers at best. And then what has he done with his first rounders, Tim, going back to their inception in 2017? What has he done with all his draft picks?
Right. So they had three in 2017. You just go through like the last 8 years of their existence and just the trades they've made and what they've done with their first round picks. And it's astounding. So 2017, they had Cody Glass, Nick Suzuki, Eric Brandstrom. All three have been traded since then. The 2018 pick they didn't use because they traded it. 2019 pick they used on Peyton Krebs, traded him. 2020, they drafted Brendan Brisson. They still own him. 2021, they drafted Zach Dean, traded him. 2022, they traded the pick. 2023, they drafted David Edstrom, traded him. They had their 2024 first-round pick still, but they traded 25 and 26. And so this kind of ties in perfectly to what Kelly McCrimmon said in his press release, in his press conference, I mean, because he was asked about the price that he pays and the go all in, and he's setting this example across the league of like, this is what all in means. And he was asked why they make more bigger deals consistently than other teams do. And his answer was simple. He says, we pay for it. Other teams aren't willing to do it. We look at Carolina in contrast and how they made the trade for Gensel, but that was very uncharacteristic because they haven't been willing to pay. Other teams are kind of in that same boat. And Vegas, to you, like just like you said, like they don't value these picks too much highly. If they can get a player, even a third liner, who's going to help them right now, they're going to do it. They'll take the sure thing. They know that their window is wide open and they want to capitalize on it. I love it. And I know you love that too, John.
Yeah, they're using their draft pack capital to go and get players who are helping them win Stanley Cups. You mentioned all those trades. You get Jack Eichel. You get Mantha. You get Stevenson. You get Kolesar. You get Shea Theodore. You get Noah Hanifin. All of those guys they traded for, and they're pretty darn important to this team. So he's obviously doing something right, and I love what he's doing. And people might be up in arms, and they might be upset. Do it. Your team should do it. I don't know why more teams don't do this. Maybe, and it has worked out well where high-end players have gotten hurt under his watch, and they have to put him on the LTIR, rightfully so. It's justified, but maybe he does ask them to, or he talks to the medical staff, and be like, don't clear him. Don't clear him until, you know, the first week of the playoffs. Let's just really be careful with him. He wouldn't incriminate himself by saying that, but he's saying we want to be really careful with Mark Stone. He has a history of injuries. We don't need him, but let's be very careful. But like this guy added, Tim, arguably the best player on the market, Thomas Hertl. He's hurt. Most talented. Best defenseman in Noah Hanifin. And a moose of a power forward who's going to be good on their third line, Anthony Mantha. Those are three valuable NHL players that he just added to his roster. I don't know any other team that can match that. The caliber, the impact that all three players will have on their team. It's good, right? What other team do you think matches that?
None. I mean, and don't you think even before these trades, we could have said that Vegas was, I know they've slipped a little bit in the standings lately, but we know when they're healthy, they're a top five, top three, maybe even team in the West, right? And then you go and add all these pieces, it doesn't seem fair. And I get why people are upset, but if it wasn't allowed, they wouldn't do it. And they wouldn't do it if it wasn't allowed. So I think it's a great move. I love these pickups by them. And I just love that McCrimmon's just like making all the other GMs look bad by maxing, their dead cap from the LTIR and going out and getting the pieces that are helping his team right now and leaving the rest of the league behind him.
I'll tell you who doesn't like it. It's either Dallas or Vancouver, or whoever is first place in the Pacific and the Metro. Because right now, as it stands, or in the Central, excuse me, Vegas will be a wild card team. As it stands today, they could slide into the third spot in the Pacific and match. Gosh, their first round matchup, the Vegas Golden Knights, is going to be incredible. If they get into the Pacific third spot, they're playing the Edmonton Oilers first round. If they don't get into that spot, right now they're playing the Vancouver Canucks. And if they get into the second or first wildcard spot, they're playing the Dallas Stars. I don't care who you are. That first round matchup is sexy as hell. That's like, that could be the Western Conference Finals, whatever team Vegas Golden Knights matches up with in the first round. That's going to be fun. Ugh, it's going to be great. The West is, it's flipped a switch. I was like dogging this division for years. Now all of a sudden they got juggernauts up and down the lineup. It feels like this trade deadline, the West was the only conference that was engaged. The East was just, other than Florida, who grabbed Tarasenko, who I think will have the most impact on a team. And he showed in his first game, 2 goals, 1 assist. The guy is perfect for that team. Other than Florida and Tarasenko, I feel like every team in the West did something. Dallas Stars get Tanev. Jets get Toffoli and Monahan. Avalanche grab Mittelstedt and Bowen. Canucks, they did their work early, grabbing Lindholm and Zadorov. Oilers get Henrique. Kings didn't do anything. I'm sorry. But yeah, and then the Vegas Golden Knights, we knew what they did. So, and then the Nashville Predators made a couple decent moves too. They grabbed Duhamie from Minnesota, and they grabbed a couple other smaller pieces. Nothing too crazy, which they shouldn't do. But yeah, a couple good secondary pieces. But West is strong, Tim. I like it.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the East didn't do a whole lot, especially the
Islanders.
Yeah. I was going to say the Atlantic Division, just because like there were no one traded either of their first two picks. No one made any big superstar moves. But yeah, I don't know. I saw the comment from Tree Living about why he was so quiet at the deadline. He basically said, you know, we looked around, but it's going to be up to this group to get things done. And so far, that's worked out well for those guys. So I can't see why it wouldn't work out this year as
well. Well, I guess so. I don't know. It is what it is, but you couldn't dip your toe a little bit. Tampa did a little bit of work, I think. They brought in a couple pieces, but nothing to the extent of the guys out West. Like they really made a mark there. What'd they get? Matt Dumba?
Yeah. Yeah. And they gave up less for him than Toronto gave up for Labushkin or who's the other guy they got?
Edmondson.
Edmondson, yeah. Yeah, both of them went for more than the least. The Lightning gave for Dumba.
I wonder if GMs just like wince. Because you don't call on everybody. You try to, but there's a lot of moving parts. You have to make decisions split second. Because if you don't, then that guy's gone. Agents really play that card. They go, it's not going to be here if you don't do it now. Because I'm talking to other teams. You have to make this deal now. So I wonder if Trevelyan goes, damn it, I didn't even call on Dumba. And next thing now, like he's gone. Like, because... they must do that. You see the GMs in the winter meetings, you go, you son of a gun, like you got me, like it's frustrating. I mean, Tim, let's talk about Bet99, voted the number one online gaming experience in Canada with same game parlays, player props, flash bet markets. You can elevate your experience at Bet99. Tim, did you know you could do that?
I did now. Thanks for telling me.
Who's your pick this month? Who do you like, Timbo?
Little bit of a homer pick here, but I'm going with Pavel Zacha. He's my guy this week. He has 5 goals so far in March, 7 points total. Only Nathan McKinnon, who has 11 points, but that's a whole other story. But only him, he has more points than Zacha. The Bruins have now won 2 games in a row. Zaka's a good bet to keep the point streak going. He's playing with Pastrnak on the top line. They're really playing well right now. The Bruins are beating some good teams. They have St. Louis tonight. He would be a good pick, especially if you want to, you know, look for value in your daily fantasy betting on Bet99. But remember, you have to be 19 plus, play responsibly, available to people in Ontario only. Bet99 is built by Canadians. So
sorry, this kind USA. Of
line, you mentioned Colorado and then the moves they made. There's a couple clips that are things that have come up that I think is really interesting. I want to get your take on. The first is Casey Mittelstadt. He spoke to the Avalanche PR right after his first morning skate with his new team, Colorado, over the weekend. Great little quote here. He says, "That's probably the most I've sweat in a morning skate in a long time. Selfishly, what an opportunity for me and the team, I think. I played against them, and I hated playing against them. So definitely excited to join them, and I'd love to help them win." The first part I want to call out is the beginning of the sentence. "That's probably the most I've sweat in a morning skate in a long time." Is that a little bit of, I don't know, is it a different style of practice? Or is he basically saying straight out, the Avs practice a lot harder than I'm used to?
It's morning skates aren't usually that tough, which is strange. So I don't know if that's a, you know, a dig at Buffalo, but different coaches have different kind of ideas on how to work a morning skate. I played on teams where the coach said, you need to get a good lather in. We need to get you a good sweat in this morning skate, get the body going, get ready for the game. And I've had other coaches where you literally walk through everything. And so it's just different ideas on how to do that morning skate. So I don't really take offense to that, but I guess you could take it that way. But yeah. He was probably sweaty, jumping off a flight. Yeah. It is what it is.
Well, I think the thing that makes it more interesting is the second clip that was kind of going around this weekend. And so Bowen Byram has been playing very well with his new team in Buffalo. He was traded for Middlestad, obviously. There's this clip floating around of him on the power play, and he's basically just like super frustrated. And you can see him trying to move, trying to make things work a little bit. He's directing teammates to open spots. There's one part where he pinches and he expects the forward to cover him, and he runs into his own forward because the forward hadn't moved. You saw this clip, right?
Yeah.
And it's like a less than a minute long. There's two or three different times where you can just see him trying to move, and the Sabres guys just aren't moving their feet at all. So what did you think of this clip? Is there something there to that?
Well, listen, this is a kid who's used to a power play that is Drouin, Rantanen, McKinnon, Lykkanen, Nishushkin, Girard, Devin Taves, Cale Makar. Like that's their top two power plays. And now he's going from that to a team that has good individual players, but doesn't have the same caliber as Colorado. And you look up and you have like Skinner and Tuck and Thompson and Cousins, and it doesn't have the same feel to it. And obviously the power play percentages are vastly different. Colorado, their power play is lethal, absolutely lethal. You could run it through three or four guys and it would be a scary power play. And the Sabres power play is bad. It's not good. And you can tell during that clip, he's just like, what are we doing? Like, when I go here, you're supposed to fill and you're supposed to vacate the area. That's how a moving power play works. But he's running into players. There's a difference between like a movement power play that is very effective and a stationary power play that is not effective. And Buffalo has a very stationary power play. They're trying to find that one shot, and Colorado just overwhelms you. They're moving. There's like a D-man's behind the net. Makar's wheeling it behind the net. And then you have McKinnon's up top. And then it's just, they confuse you. There's so much movement. And so it's a culture shock to go from when he got that trade, he must have been like, what? Great. And he's still not the number one defenseman on the team. That's the frustrating part for him. So he wanted to go and be the top dog somewhere. And now he's still looking up at Dahlin and maybe Owen Power at the end of the day. So you're still maybe third on the depth chart in Buffalo. Goodness gracious. Then, yeah, Casey Middlestad. He's going from the poorhouse to the penthouse. He's loving life now. The culture change is real when you go to a different team, good and bad. I remember when I walked into Arizona and San Jose, these smaller market teams, coming from a Chicago or a New York, bigger market teams, it's very apparent like how the rich live and how the poor live in the NHL. Just it's night and day how they take care of you, the amount of coaches, the amount of just everything you have at your fingertips. It's crazy. So poor Casey's going from Colorado to Buffalo. Oof. Tough.
Don't you think too that like if you were a consultant like a third party and you were trying to evaluate teams and why the good teams are bad or good and the bad teams are bad, other than like the obvious talent on paper, wouldn't you look at things like how they approach their power play preparation and their morning skate and things like that? Like what these two examples we're talking about. It's the little stuff that happens, not necessarily off the ice, but outside of the actual game itself. I think these are just two fascinating little examples of the differences between two teams.
Yeah, and then that comes down to coaching. People think coaching is just kind of a dying art where anybody can get out there, you know, the players do the rest. No, it takes, like, coaching is hard. Trust me, I've played on a bunch of teams. I know good coaches and bad coaches. And if you find a good coach, you stick with that guy as long as you can because they get it. They put you in a position to succeed and they give you an advantage during the game. There's not many good coaches in the NHL. We could run down the list and I'd say half of them are solid coaches that give you an advantage. And some just kind of, you know, they don't do much. And there's some that actually like, scuttle your team that actually make it worse. Well, look at Vancouver. Bruce Boudreau. Like the same team across the board until they made the recent moves. Same team. Last place, first place. It's just a mentality. All right. What are we doing next? Speaking of coaches, Tim.
Yeah. So this is the big thing happening last night. Tortorella Torch was tossed from the game in the first period. And the ref tossed him off the bench and he refused to go. He refused to leave. You can see him cussing up a storm, saying, "No, I'm not doing an F you. I'm not going anywhere. This is, I'm staying right here." After, you know, at 20, 30 seconds, he eventually does leave. He goes down the tunnel, doesn't come back, and whatever. But everyone's talking about the clip itself, and coach is just straight up refusing to leave, which is crazy. And it's unusual, too, I think, that a coach would get tossed in the first period. Usually it's like let it in the third, and things are intense and hot and heavy or whatever. So that's the clip, and everyone's talking about it. Everyone's laughing at it. Turns out he's getting suspended for 2 games for this, and he's also being fined $50,000. So the first question is, like, what could a coach do in the first period? It's something he had to have said to the refs, right? What do you think?
Well, yeah, he said something terrible, obviously. And if you notice now, refs, they interject themselves in the game. It's more so in baseball. But I feel like they just think they're bigger than the game itself. But all that aside, it's funny that he gets ejected because they were honoring the 2003-2004 Stanley Cup champion team that night in Tampa Bay, and the coach of that team was John Tortorella. So they had this ceremony, I believe, because Philly was in town. And so he's getting some accolades. They probably did a scoreboard montage, and he gets tossed before they even have a chance to do it. So I side with Torts on this. I don't know why he got tossed. I'm sure there was penalties. He wasn't liking the calls going Tampa's way and not Philly's way. But, like, just you have to say something really egregious as a coach to get tossed. I don't understand what he said. I don't know what he said. I probably understand it. I don't know what he said, but come on, man. Like, read the room. Just skate away. Have a thick skin. I feel like the referees these days, and I'm not defending what Tortorella did, but the referees need to be better. I'm sorry. It bothers me. I see that who's the guy in baseball? Angel Hernandez. I watch clips on him on John Boy. It drives me bonkers. He just tossed out some pitcher in spring training the other day for doing nothing. It's like, you're not why people are here. It's good when you're invisible, but they don't think that. They're doing the stupid things when they're calling a penalty fighter. They think there's a celebrities now. And that's a bad thing to, you know, have in the back of your mind, where people, they love me. I gotta make an impact. No, you don't. Be invisible. And then they didn't do it here. You throw John Tortorella, and he's like, we're not leaving. I'm not leaving. It's funny.
I'm not leaving.
Got a broken finger. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Good for Torts. I had a couple FU matches with him in his office. Marty Baron was on the show. We talked about it. The guy's intimidating. He's 5 foot nothing. I'm 6'8", 265, and I was shredded in New York because I was just getting bagged every day. And I'm like, we're going nose to nose. And he's not backing down. I was like, damn. He's a feisty little guy.
Yeah, I wonder if Frank or Elliot or any of those guys will report or find out what exactly he said, or at least like a sense of what he said that would have got him tossed. Because there's obviously two sides to the story, and maybe it was legitimate. But what I really liked was that later that night, before that the suspension and the actual fine amount broke, the Flyers and Comcast chairman and CEO Dan Hilferty said he will pay any fines the NHL tries to send John Tortorella after his ejection. Here's his quote. "I'm really proud of Torts for standing up for his and our team. This new era of Orange is about having each other's back. Last night, Torts had our collective backs. I respect any action the league might feel is needed to take, but if it includes to a fine, I am paying it." I love that.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. The league read that, and they're like, okay, we will up the suspension. You're going to pay for it? Oh, it was going to be 20. Now it's 50. Thank you very much. We appreciate the extra donation. And that all those fines goes to the player relief fund. So that's good. Going to a good cause. It's for players who are down on their luck and need some help. So it's going to a good spot. But yeah. Dumb NHL. So dumb. All right, let's do some quick hits, Tim.
Yeah, for a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order with DoorDash of $15 or more. Use the promo code NATION25 on the app. Offer valid only in Canada, subject to change. You mentioned the Islanders at the very beginning. They've won 6 games in a row now, and they've tied Detroit but pushed them back because they've played fewer games. Detroit is now officially out of the wild card race for now, and they're without Larkin for another 7 to 10 days. Meanwhile, the Islanders just keep on winning. Do you think we can keep this going?
I do. I think I said, how many weeks ago did I say they, one team in the East, they have a chance to come back in? Because they have a good team. They have a deep veteran group. I like their defense. They obviously have one of the best goaltenders in the league in Sorokin. So, yeah, I think they'll land in the wild card spot. It'll be them in Boston. in the wild card spot. That'll be that. The Iser plan is crumbling right before my eyes, which I love. Absolutely love it. He didn't do anything at the deadline. Good for him. And the Capitals are fun. They're a good story, but they'll fall off. The Devils sold everything at the deadline too, which they should have done, rightfully so. But yeah, I like the Islanders' chances of staying where they are. I really do. They're playing good hockey. They have some good players. And why not? Why not us? I watched the Red Sox 4 days in October. Why not us? Curt Schilling. It was really good. ESPN Plus. Check it out.
Good time.
Right. What else, Tim?
Another funny little story. The Arizona Coyotes, two young kids, Dylan Gunther and Jack McBain, had their roommates, they had their water turned off this week because they didn't pay the utility bill. Is this bizarre to you, or is this like the kind of thing that young kids do where they just don't pay attention to that sort of thing, even when they're making a lot of money?
So this is a case of players, and I don't want to go down that road again of just being like, oh, these kids don't know how to do this and that, but they're young kids. They were high draft picks. Well, McBain was a third. Gunther was a first. Probably studs in the OHL. They haven't learned to do anything in their life. Everybody's done everything for them. And I played with the player, Benoit Pouliot. The same exact thing happened to him. Didn't know how to pay a credit card bill. Didn't know how to do anything. So they probably got their spot. They're living their loving life. They're not thinking twice about bills. A lot of these players have their agents or handlers handle all this stuff for them. So they could care less. These guys are making tons of money. What is it? Let's see. Gunther is still in his ELC, so he's only making $900,000, but McBain's making 1.6. He's 24 years old. Gunther's 20. In Arizona? You kidding me? They're going out. Like, they're having fun. They're not worried about a water bill. But yeah, these are young kids who have just not been taught how to function in regular society at all. They play hockey, and they go home, and they play video games, and then they might go out and have a couple drinks. That's it. They don't do anything else. They don't know how life works whatsoever. Why should they?
So it wasn't that typical when you were there.
No, this is
around young players.
This is normal. This is the norm. The absolute norm. I bet you if you did a basic, bare basic Q&A or a question and answer with these kids, I know that's the same thing, Q&A. They wouldn't know basic American history, how the country works, all that stuff. They would fail it. Hands down, like, what's the three levels of government? Like, citizenship test, they would bomb it. I guarantee you 80% of them would. But that goes for everybody in hockey, just because they just play hockey. Not me, though. I'm a genius. I'm so smart.
Yeah. I feel like Pierre Maguire is really pumping your tires. We should have him on. He'd be a good guest.
I would love to have him on all the time. If you haven't listened to that interview with Pierre and I was on a show. He spent half an hour just inflating my ego. It's great. It was so great. I loved it. I walked away going, this guy gets it.
Yeah. Well, he was like all over the All-Star thing. The pictures of you like at center ice getting lifted. He's right there in the locker room. He's right there in the background.
He is a big deal in hockey. Like, he is a huge deal. I mean, he loves me, which I love him. All right. Couple more. Bruin story. Do we need to talk about this? Derek Forbert on the LTIR.
Yeah, just another injury here. Derek Forbert, season possibly over. He's going to need surgery, maybe two surgery, which explains the trade they made for Andrew Peak last week.
This is a good thing for Boston at the end of the day. I don't think Derek Forbert is very good for them.
I don't either. I mean, I don't wish him injured, but yeah, I think we're better without him in the lineup. Especially this kid, Mason Lowry. He's so stinking good. He skates so well. Yeah. Good. Okay, the last thing that people need from you, this is by request, a little bit of a chicken update. What's the latest with the coop?
Well, lots happening this past week. I ordered all the wood. It got delivered today. My wife said we have a whole massive platform, skids, load of wood. I don't know what the term is, but it's all at the house. We're going to start construction this week of the coop, 8x8. You know, a sizable piece of building there, but not outrageous. Then I talked to someone who's going to get me chickens in April. So we're getting a year old or 2 year old hens. So they're already laying. So we'll bolster our ranks of chickens who have just been decimated. It was a long winter. It was like World War II. The winter took its toll on us. Is that a good analogy?
No, but the last time that we talked about it, you had three, right? Do you still have three?
Two. We lost one.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Black Betty. The weather got to him.
Ugh.
Died. froze to death.
Yeah, but what are you going to do with that car? With the car, once you build,
I'm going to give it back to my buddy. It's his car, so we'll give it back to him. The new coupe will be put in. I'm hoping for an Easter opening date for the coupe. I'm thinking it's going to take me 3 weeks. Well, with the girls, yeah, me and the girls. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I'm building the base hopefully today and tomorrow. See how that goes. Yeah, it'll be nice. I'll keep everybody posted on my social media page. We'll put lots of pictures up there. All right. Anything else, Tim?
No, go buy some merch if you haven't yet. People are buying it. Get it while it's good.
I will not buy any. So please buy it and then send it to me. That'd be nice. Are you wearing it, Tim? Where is it? You got a shirt on right now?
I do have a shirt on right now. Yes.
Of the of our brand. Well, you're supposed to wear it. That's the idea of buying it so people can see it.
Thanks for noticing me.
Did the sweaters have a hockey lace for a string?
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of that.
You like that?
No, not really. all right, everybody. Cool. I hope you enjoyed it. You know who we might try to get is Jake Gensel. That was a funny thing on the live stream. I was texting with Jake during the live stream, and he's like, I can call in now. I might have a few seconds. He was at the airport. And I said, no, we'll save it for next week. We'll get you on the show maybe. But he hates podcasts, so I doubt he's going to get on the show. But I'll text him. We'll try to get him on. We haven't had a guest in a while. We keep talking about it, and we just never follow through.
Not that. People are just busy.
I bet and you Cam Jansen and Riley Cote would probably get you guests, Tim.
Yeah, they probably would.
They might. Oh, if only. If only you had met them. Stuck with me. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. We will talk to you on Wednesday. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.